Throughout this world, there are many religious systems that claim to save and secure the soul of man for what is to come after death. Some would doubt the existence of an afterlife or a life that comes after death and after we leave this scene of time. But many do agree that there is some form of existence for mankind after death. The cults, Islam and Roman Catholicism all have their different views, all have their own specific views concerning this great doctrine and teaching of life after death. They have many fables, many myths that are untrue, many things that go against what the Word of God says concerning it. And while this world revolves around that false religion, there is a beacon of truth that is the Word of God, the Scriptures that are inspired by God. And in the Scriptures we have the truth that there is life after death, that there is an eternity after death for mankind. The Bible is clear that there is one God, that there is one way of salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Saviour Himself has been neglected and forsaken by this world. And those who forsake Him in life after death will spend that life in hell forever, in a place of eternal death, in a place of eternal suffering. And those who say that Jesus Christ is my Saviour will spend eternity with the Son of God. Men do not want to rely upon another for their eternal security. Yet, in the Scriptures it is clear that there is one God and one Mediator, one Saviour, one Reconciler, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. There is life after death. We all have to face it. It was Shakespeare who, in his great play Hamlet, had the lead character saying concerning life after death. He said that it was the undiscovered country. The undiscovered country from whose born or whose grip no traveller returns. And while none of us have been to that undiscovered country, while none of us have experienced life after death, we know what is there. There is a map. It is the Word of God, for it shows us clearly that there is heaven and that there is hell after death for those who are saved and for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. There is life after death. And therefore, we need the Saviour. Therefore, we need Christ, as our text says, to be our Mediator. And tonight, I want us to consider Christ the Mediator. Christ the Mediator. And firstly here, in considering the verse 5, we see the essentiality of Christ's mediation. His work as our Mediator is essential. It is necessary. Why? Because of our sin. We are sinners before the Lord. Sin is the breaking of God's law. But the sin which Adam committed in the Garden of Eden, his sin has been conveyed down to us from generation to generation. We have sinned in Adam. And we are sinners ourselves. We are born in sin. In the Psalm 51 and the verse 5, the psalmist speaks concerning his sin. And he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In sin did my mother conceive me. We are all sinners. And to fully understand tonight why we need a mediator, why we need somebody to come between God and between us, we need to realize, firstly, that we are all sinners. And secondly, we have to consider and realize what the effects of sin are. What will sin do to us? What is the final result of our sin? And where will it take us. In Ephesians chapter 2 in the verse 12 and 13, we read the words that at that time ye were without Christ, speaking to the Christians of the church of Ephesus, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh, brought near by the blood of Christ. The mediator brings us nigh. Isaiah the prophet said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Our sins have separated between God and us. We are sinners. We are against God. We are far from God. Why? Because of our sin. And there is that mark of separation between God and between us. And in looking at this end result of sin, I want us to focus just simply on this thought or this theme of separation. Because sin separates. And at the last day, sin will separate the sinner from the saint. It will separate the sinner from God's paradise in heaven. And the sinner will be separated and cast into hell. I want us to consider Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Please turn to it. And some of these passages we are looking at are very well known. And I'm sure they've been touched on time and time again. I myself have mentioned them time and time again while preaching. But they are important. They're very clear. And there are great warnings found here concerning the future of those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Matthew 13 and the verse 25, we read of the parable of the wheat and the tares. And it says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The wheat resembles those who are saved. The tares speak of those who are out of Christ. Those who are out of Christ. And if we move on to the verse 30, the answer is given what to do with these tares. Let both go together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So there is a separation here between the tares and between the wheat. And Christ explains it. Then in the verse 37 to the verse 40, he said that the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. And verse 42, and shall cast them, the tares, the sinners, into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then if we turn to Matthew chapter 25, the Saviour is again speaking of the end of the world and the events that will take place. And this time, those who are saved are referred to as sheep, and those who are out of Christ are referred to as the goats. As the goats. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And verse 41, then shall he say also unto them in the left hand, the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil and his angels. And so we see clearly that when the last day shall come, and this world is going to end one day God will call time upon this world. One day it will be the end. The last morning, the last sunrise, the last day in which man will roam this earth, and then God will come, and the world will be ended. We will all stand before his judgment throne, and this judgment will take place, and this separation will take place. Those who love the Lord will have their place in heaven, but those who reject Christ will be separated for all eternity. Separated for all eternity. Are you one of the sheep? Are you trusting in Christ as your great shepherd? He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In Revelation 20, we see separation again. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then in Revelation 14, we see the picture, the illustration of a harvest again. The end of the world is pictured as being like a harvest. In verse 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And then, moving on to the passage, the sickle is thrust into the earth, and the earth is reaped. The earth is reaped. And the angel thrust in his sickle, verse 19, into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Into the winepress, the great winepress of the wrath of God, which refers to hell, which refers to that place of wrath and of destruction. Though for those who reject Christ will be found. This separation is a final separation. The rich man found out about it. And he left the scene of time when he died. And he lifted up his eyes. He realized that he was in hell, in torments, suffering for his sin. And he begged Abraham to put that water on his tongue that he might be refreshed. And that was not possible. And it is said to this man in Luke 16:26, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence you cannot, to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The picture is here of a great divide, a great chasm between heaven and between hell, a place of separation. No man can cross it. And that is where the sinner will spend eternity because of their sin. And we are all sinners. We have all broken the law of God. Sin leads to this separation. Why? Because it is rebellion against the God of heaven. God is holy. God is wise. God is pure. God is sinless. But our sin and our rebellion takes us far from God. And we will be judged for it. We will be judged for it. Sin must be punished. In the sight of God, we are vile. We can never enter heaven with our own sin. And sinner tonight, the Bible says that you have sinned. The Bible says that you have come short of the glory of God. There is no hope for your soul outside the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why a mediator is essential. You yourself cannot stand before God in the day of judgment and defend yourself. You will be speechless. You will not be able to make any deals or anything like that to save your soul. It will be too late. We cannot save ourselves. We can do nothing for our own salvation. But the Lord Jesus Christ, but God in his mercy and his love, while he must judge sin, has made that way in which you can have peace with God and life everlasting. And that is through the cross of Christ. For God so loved the world. What a wonderful verse that is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the atonement, the covering for our sins. Christ covered the sins of his people. He bore them on Calvary, and he died in our stead. God is love, and while his wrath and his justice are displayed in sending sinners to be punished justly forever, his love is displayed in the cross of Calvary. Christ is our mediator because he went to the cross. He is our go-between. As I said, we can never be our mediator ourselves. We can never come between God and ourselves. We cannot do it. For we are sinners and God is holy. But there is one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice this, because this is important. We could not be saved any other way except through God's way, through the mediator, through the one who died on Calvary, the one appointed by God to be that sacrificial lamb. And we cannot enter heaven by any other way, for God's justice is perfect, unfailing and unchanging. God's justice must be met, either by ourselves in hell, or by the mediator, the Son of God, who died on the cross. There is no other way of salvation apart from in the Lord Jesus Christ. Divine justice must be satisfied. And it can only be satisfied, sinner tonight, by your suffering for all eternity in the place, the great winepress of God's wrath, or by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. One of two ways your sin will be punished, by yourself or by Christ. Which will it be? Will you trust in the Lord tonight for salvation? I want then to consider our second point. It is the essence of Christ's mediation, the essence of it. What does it contain? What is it about? Well, Christ is our mediator. How is he the mediator? He is the only redeemer of God's elect people. He was the eternal Son of God. He became man. And he was and continues to be, to paraphrase the catechism, God and man in two distinct natures, yet one person forever. He was the Son of God. And Paul says in the book of Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." When the fullness of time was come. You see, God had a plan. God had made a promise. God promised in the Garden of Eden that there would be a Saviour, that there would be a Messiah. And many years later, thousands of years later, that Messiah was born in Bethlehem. His name was Jesus. His name was Emmanuel, God with us. When the fullness of time was come, many had looked for this Messiah over the years, but the Messiah had not come. Many today still look for the Messiah, not believing that it was Jesus Christ. He was the Messiah. He came when the fullness of time was come. And believer tonight, let me say to you, if God has made a promise in your life, if God has given you a promise, it might be a promise that came to you years ago. You may wonder why it's been delayed. You may think that God has promised this, but he hasn't answered me. Consider these words. When the fullness of time was come, the greatest promise in this world was God promising to send a Messiah. But it did not happen instantly. It happened in God's time, when the fullness of time was come. But God is a God who keeps his promises. And when his time comes, when the fullness of time comes, your promise will be answered by the power of God. Will be answered by the Lord. He will keep his promises. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. He lived a life that glorified God. He died a death to save sinners. And his aim throughout his whole ministry was the cross of Calvary. He lived with the cross in view. He knew that he was going to the cross. That was his aim. That was the whole basis of his ministry. To go to the cross of Calvary and to die for sinful men. In John 12:34, we read, the people answered him, "We have heard out of the Lord that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And Christ, throughout his ministry, had preached and had said that he, being the Son of Man, must be lifted up. He claimed and proclaimed and preached that he was going to the cross of Calvary to die for sinners. That was his primary aim. He was born. He came into this world and was born to go to the cross of Calvary. Such was his love for sinners. He went to die for sin. He was bruised. He was beaten. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our transgressions. And he suffered there on the cross of Calvary to redeem his people from their sin. What wondrous love the Savior had for us. What wondrous love he had as he died on the cross for us. And the Old Testament prophets spoke concerning Christ. They said of the Savior on the cross, crying out, my God, Psalm 22, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Son of God was forsaken by his Father as he bore the sins of his people. Christ was forsaken so that his people would not be forsaken by God. For sinner, if you die in your sin, you will be sent to hell to be punished for your sin forever. You will be forsaken by God. But on the cross, Christ was forsaken by God for sin and for sinners. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission of sin. There is no liberty. There is no pardon. We can sing with the hymn writer, "Lord, through the blood, the Lamb that was slain, cleansing for me, cleansing for me." The center of the mediatorial work of Christ, the center of his work as mediator, is the cross. It is the cross of Calvary. The scriptures testify of the power of Christ in salvation. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the Hebrews, he said, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He is able also to save them to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25. That word "uttermost" signifies a complete salvation. A salvation that is full. A salvation that is finished. A salvation that is complete. And as the mediator of his people, the one who came between them and between God, he offers a salvation that is complete. A salvation that is finished. A salvation that needs nothing added to it in order to save the sinner. And tonight, this salvation is offered to you. The salvation Christ provides. It is full, it is complete. And all you must do is to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. We've spoken about the many religions in this world and varying views that they have. Many of them do not believe that we can obtain full assurance of faith. I've done much outreach over the years, and I've met many Roman Catholics on the door. And when I asked them, "Do you have an assurance that you will be in heaven? Do you have an assurance that your sins are forgiven?" They answer to the negative. They do not have that assurance. They do not know for sure, for certain, that they will be in heaven. They have no assurance. But here in Christ, there can be assurance. In Christ alone there is that full assurance that he can save the sinner. An uttermost salvation. a salvation that is complete, a salvation that is full. And the religions of this world add many things to the Word of God, and they take away from it the truth of it, but also the fact that it is a complete salvation. The fact that it is that we can have a great assurance of our sins being forgiven. Come to Christ tonight, and that assurance of salvation can be yours, for He alone can save the sinner. And then finally tonight, I want to consider the exclusiveness of Christ's mediation, the exclusiveness of His work as our mediator. He is the only mediator. We see this in our verse, and we'll come back to it. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. It says, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And in the Word of God, and in the Old Testament, there are many verses, there are many great truths concerning the fact that there is only one God, one true and one living God. The God who made this world, the God who created man, the God who is revealed to us in the Word of God, the God who sent His Son to die on the cross for sinners. It's one God, the true and the living God of heaven. The true and the living God of heaven. There is one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only mediator for sin. He is the only one that can come between us and God. There are many things today. Many people have invented many schemes, many so-called beliefs that take the place of Christ as being the one that comes between God and us. They say that your good works and your church attendance and all these things can come between you and God. If you live a good life, if you do good works, if you go to church, if you pay your tithes, these things come between you and God. And when you leave the scene of time, you can enter heaven because of your good works, because of your church attendance, because of your tithes. Somebody must have a great imagination, because these things are not taught in the Word of God. These things are not taught in God's Word, for it says, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And so the only one that can stand between us and God, the only one who can save the sinner, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He is rejected, if He is turned away from, then there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can save your soul. There is nothing that can stand between you and God. And sinner, tonight, on that day of judgment, it does not matter whether you were here tonight or not. What matters is whether you have accepted Christ as your mediator, whether He is the one that has saved your soul. Because if you rely on your church attendance, if you rely on being here tonight for salvation, that will take you to hell. God alone can save. Christ alone can save. He is the only mediator, the only way of salvation. The Scriptures affirm to us that no other person can be the mediator, that Christ alone is the Savior. The Old Testament, the types and the figures in it, point to Christ. And in the New Testament, the Savior Himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." He said again, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the door." Speaking metaphorically, Christ is the door of the way, the entrance into heaven. "And if any man sin," said John, 1 John 2 verse 1, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Hebrews 9:15, And for this cause, he, that is Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant, the gospel of Christ, as it were. He is the mediator. Nobody else can be our mediator. For nobody else is both God and both man. Christ is man. He can represent us. He is sinless man. He is also God. And he can represent God. And he stands in the middle between us and between God, between the sinner and between the holy God. And it is only him who can save the sinner. The Old Testament saints were saved to this mediator. The New Testament saints were saved to this mediator. Those here tonight who know and love the Lord were saved through this mediator. Christ is the only way to God. The scriptures do not mention any other way. They do not mention whether it's through priests, whether it's through good works or anything else. They just say through Christ and through Christ alone. Through Christ alone. Christ's sacrifice is the only sacrifice that can take away sin. There was a hymn writer who said, "Once, only once, and once for all, his precious life he gave. Before the cross in faith we fall, and own him strong to save." He gave his life once, and that once offering up of himself for sin can save the sinner for time and for eternity. At the time of the Protestant Reformation, these few thoughts will close. At the time of the Reformation, in the early 1500s, the Church of Rome had its many ways of salvation, promoting many ways of salvation, but not through Jesus Christ alone. The Reformers got back to the Word of God. The Reformers realized that the just shall live through faith. They realized that Christ alone was the answer, that Christ alone would save. And they presented him, they preached him, as the only way of salvation. And there were many confessions of faith that sprung up during and after the Reformation. And one of them is called the Heidelberg Catechism. Our own church holds to the Westminster standards, the Westminster Confession of Faith. But at that time, there were different confessions springing up over Europe. And you could almost say that the Heidelberg was a sister confession. And it was of the same doctrinal standards. It was based on the Word of God as well. But there was a great personal theme in it. It was very personal in its answers. And one answer said, "Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior?" The answer given is, "Because he saveth us." It's personal. "Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other." Because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Christ is the only Savior. He is the only mediator. Can you say this tonight as your confession? Can you say, "Because he saveth me and delivereth me from my sins, and likewise, because I ought not to seek, neither can I find salvation in any other"? Is that your confession? Is that your belief tonight? Is your faith grounded upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rock of our salvation? He alone can save. He alone can atone for sin. And he alone can bring us nigh unto God. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ alone is the mediator. Jesus Christ alone is the answer. And tonight, are you trusting in him for salvation? For he is the only one that can save. May the Lord bless his word tonight for his name's sake.